Hello, everyone. Hello, everywhere. Welcome again to another edition of the Happy Station Show, broadcasting to South America, Latin America, and the Caribbean on 9,955 kilohertz in the 31 meter band. Now, you're probably wondering, who was that voice that introduced today's show, and why did he introduce today's show? Well, that is actually a guest that we had not too long ago. His name is David Monson. Hello, David.
Well, hi there, Keith. And God forbid, my word, thinking that I'd be here after almost 20 years, I think this is the first time in 20 years that I've made an international broadcast, sitting in your studio in Panchal, of all places, Taiwan. This is just, you know, beggars belief.
It's an interesting day for two reasons. Number one, in the entire history of Happy Station, going back to 1928, this is the first, and I say first, 120-minute edition of the show. Back in the Eddie Starts days and in the first 7 years that Tom Meyer did the show, it was 80 minutes. It was then cut down to 50 minutes. And then in March, we came back to 55 minutes. And today we're at 120 minutes. So I think we're moving ahead.
We certainly are, my word. And it's, well, 120 minutes, that's a far longer broadcast, I think, than any one of your, some of our, well, for instance, Belgian Radio and Television, which I understand, or Belgian International Radio, is going to do in any one year now, because they're closing down today, isn't that right?
Today is their last broadcast, which is, you know, again, you know, because later on I want to talk about a little bit about international broadcasting, because you and I, as well as a lot of other people out there, have very strong views about it and what has happened to it, which is quite depressing in some ways and insane.
Well, let's not get depressed in this program today, Keith. Right?
No, certainly not. Certainly not. We are broadcasting live, by the way, and if you want to get in touch with us as we're doing the show, there's a few ways to do it. Our email address is email address is PCJ, that's Peace, Cheer, and Joy, as Eddie Starts would have said, PCJ.happystation@gmail.com. That's PCJ.happystation@gmail.com. And of course, the easiest way is if you're on Facebook, just do a search for The Happy Station Show, PCJ Media. Click on that, come in and join the group, and you can talk to us online as well. We actually, David, we have a number of things we're going to be doing today. We're going to be doing it's kind of funny when you think about it. We're doing a worldwide travel here in Taiwan, being sent to Miami, and then being sent to other areas. You know, this is one, I think, something that makes international broadcasting special. You can be in one part of the world. We can be sitting on the island of Nakitiktik-Tuktuk, somewhere in the Pacific, mm-hmm. and broadcast to North America.
Well, this is something that always, always, as I say, fascinated me about international broadcasting, Keith. And what did I say? Well, today we're going to be, I think, more nostalgic, probably, Keith, than melancholic, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. That's, I think, the best way to just say it. Okay, we're going to begin off first, actually, because we have somebody standing by in South Africa for our first stop on today's international tour. But first, we're going to have a little piece of music, and this is going out to a couple whose name, because unfortunately, being an idiot like I am, I was going through the emails and I accidentally hit delete. But I know today is their 45th wedding anniversary, and they wanted to hear something a little bit strange and a little bit silly. And I thought we would take a listen to, well, it's actually not a silly song. It's Midnight in Moscow, but the arrangement is a little odd. And that is by Ray Conniff and his orchestra, going out to you on your wedding anniversary today on the 31st of January, 2009, at just after 7 hours UTC. Thank you. The Happy Station is a guest who was here actually not too long ago. His name is Neil Hendrickse. He's all the way in Cape Town, South Africa, and he works for Springrock Radio. He does a show called Finally Fridays, which we've talked about a few times before. We'll give out the URL at the end of this conversation so you can check out Finally Fridays. Good morning, Neil. How are you?
A little bit tired still, Keith, but otherwise I'm well. Good morning to you as well.
Now, the reason why we should tell our listeners why it's good morning, because here in Taiwan, it's just after 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's just after 4 o'clock in the morning, all the way in Cape Town, South Africa. I want to thank you for getting up, or unless you've been up all night.
No, that'll happen tonight probably, Keith.
So you're not going to get a head start then, right?
No. You know, one at my age, Keith, if I get a head start, then I normally won't make it through to midnight.
So, rather not.
Take it easy through the day, you know.
So if you got a head start, you'd be in bed by 6 o'clock in the evening, right?
Yeah, you'll probably start around then. But we'll be having a quiet evening, probably very family orientated, family together, maybe, you know, having something to eat, couple of drinks, but nothing too hectic.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure in the center of town itself, Greenpoint and Seapoint, Camps Bay, I'm sure there'll be huge parties going on, no doubt.
Well, you know, Neil, let me ask you something, because as most people know, next year is going to be, there's a very big sporting event, and if you don't know what it is, and we mentioned South Africa, that of course is the World Cup. If you didn't know that, you're obviously living on a different planet. But next year, it is going to be the first time that the World Cup takes place on the African continent, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first major, when I say major, I mean huge, gigantic, I mean almost as big as the Olympics sporting type event that will take place in South Africa, correct?
Yes, that is quite correct, Keith. It's very exciting. There's a lot of hype around the World Cup in South Africa. There has been, obviously, since we were nominated as the host country. But as it approaches the kickoff time, which is the middle of 2010, obviously the excitement is increasing and increasing. But it's great, Keith, because I was actually looking at the FIFA website a little bit, yesterday, in fact. And I see that South Africa's preparations are, in fact, ahead of what Germany's was 4 years back. So things are looking good. All the new stadia have been completed, or if not totally completed, they're very, very close to completion. There's a hell of a lot of excitement around the World Cup. You know, you mentioned it's one of the biggest worldwide tournaments. I think it's actually bigger than the Olympics, Keith, as far as worldwide spectator audience is concerned. You know, taking television viewers into account and that type of thing. I think it's actually the biggest worldwide sporting tournament. So it is, it's very, very exciting. And obviously there are tons of spin-off opportunities for South Africans.
Mm-hmm.
Great stuff, the World Cup. I can't wait.
So let me ask you, like in Cape Town right now, if I was to walk down the street in either Cape Town, Pretoria, or Johannesburg, is the World Cup everywhere in the country?
Yeah, no, it's everywhere. Absolutely. I mean, I don't think there's a newspaper you can buy in South Africa where there isn't a countdown on the front page. You know, the days are being counted down. All the local radio stations that I listen to, they're doing the same, and every day there'll be a feature, you know, somewhere in their lineup regarding the World Cup and the progress that has been made in the various branches involved. You know, I mean, there are so many people involved in the tournament, from volunteer workers. I think there's about 16 or 17,000 volunteer workers for FIFA who have just been approved very recently, and they're going to be going into intensive training. So it's right down from that level, you know, obviously up to the top end of your, like your five-star hotels and places like that. So, yeah, it's very, very exciting. And besides all of that, you know, the economic aspects of it, obviously we're going to be seeing the best football around. I'm a very keen football fan, Keith. And this World Cup, I can honestly say, is the first World Cup, besides being on African soil, but it's the first World Cup where all the teams competing are in fact the top teams from the various zones, the various FIFA zones, you know, Europe, mm-hmm. Africa, North America, Oceania, etc., etc. There's a few zones. All the top countries are here, with the possible exception of Russia. It would have been nice if they were going to be coming as well. But they didn't make it. They were knocked out by Slovakia. So, but yeah, it's and every group, you know, now that the draw has been made as well, every group is tough. The soccer is going to be out of this world.
Okay, Neil, let me ask you one final question. I mean, because of the excitement right now in South Africa for the World Cup, as well as many people around the world who are going to be going to South Africa, in South Africa itself, what are some of the teams that people are rooting for?
Well, South Africa, you know, obviously South Africa, a huge sector of the South African population is soccer crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously South Africa... of people that I've been speaking to, there's quite a lot of support for the Azzurri, for Italy, as well as for England as well. I think England, you know, where the game was born, you know, they've only had one World Cup triumph back in 1966. That's a long time ago, you know. and I think that's grinding the English quite badly, and they do have a very, very good squad of players available this time around. So, who knows? But then, of course, the Brazilians, you know, they always, you know, up there with the favorites. And the Germans, of course, they always also do very, very well.
All right, Neil, look, thanks a lot for joining us, and thank you for getting up so early this morning. Before we go, I want you to give a message to the Happy Station listeners, but not in English. I want you to give it in Afrikaans. Go ahead.
Afrikaans, Keith, okay. Okay, vir al ons Happy Station Show, luisteraars, van ek, Neil Hendrikse, hier so in Kaapstad, Suid-Afrika. Ek wens julle almal gelukkige nuwe jaar vorentoe. Ek hoop julle 2010 is prachtig, julle almal. Dankie, Keith.
All right, Neil, thanks a lot.
That's a great pleasure, man. You have a fantastic 2010, and thanks for getting me up. Now I can enjoy the last day of 2009.
All right. Good to talk to you again, Neil. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. Well, Keith, this is really much, very much a trip down memory lane, you know, this morning for me. My word, you know, I'm from South Africa, of course, you know, and the older you get, you seem to live more in the past than in the present sometimes, you know. I mean, it's about 150 years ago. And listening to Neil, of course, brings back so many memories.
When was the last time you were in South Africa?
I guess it was probably about 11 years ago, yes. My son is now 11. He was 10 months old, so it was just one decade ago.
Right. Well, you know, I should mention, because we didn't mention it before, why is David here? Well, David is actually co-hosting the special edition of Happy Station for the first 120-minute edition. And by the way, coming up today at 16 hours UTC will be another edition of the show, but I will be getting on a plane about 3 hours after we do this show, flying to Hong Kong, and I'll be doing the show from RTHK in Hong Kong. So the two shows for December 31st are live. And David brought along some music today, and you are a classical music, I would say, fanatic? Would that be an okay word?
Well, maybe, yes. That's all right. I mean, it does say I'm especially knowledgeable about the subject, you know, but I do love classical music, yes. So you want me to introduce, let's see, a couple of works. I was going to say numbers today. Well, I thought we'd begin at the beginning. I mean, the beginning for me, classical music, it begins with Bach. Actually, it goes back a little further than Bach. But I want to play you Or I'd like you, Keith, to put on the turntable. That's how we used to say it in the old days, remember? The good old turntable. It just goes to show, you know, what a fuddy-duddy I am. Anyhow, I want to play you one of Bach's six suites. Not the entire thing, just a movement from one of Bach's first suites, the very first, in fact. You know, just a word about Bach. I think it always makes a difference if you know just a little bit of background, you know, about what you're listening to. If you know anything about Bach, I'm sure there are many, many people who do, listening to the program today. He was so many things, a true polymath in some ways. Well, he was a violinist to begin with, a composer, he was an organist, and of course latterly he was a Kapellmeister at Köthen, a choir master, and also latterly in Leipzig, where of course he died. Now, this is an incredibly demanding work. The six suites are incredibly demanding works to play on the cello. And they were composed for a friend of his, a very close friend of his, an excellent cello player himself, a guy called Ferdinand Christian Abel. I didn't know him, nor did you, I guess. Anyhow, that was back in 1721. And the incredible thing, Bach infuses an amazing wealth of color and technical and compositional brilliance and character to these works. And it's music that, to my mind, seems to reach beyond time and eternity itself. It's simply sublime. And in a moment, you listen to it. I just want to say that the soloist is none other than the great Dutch Baroque cellist, Anna Bylsma. That doesn't say he's Baroque himself. He plays a Baroque cello, right? He's called, in fact, Anna Bylsma, he's called the Rostropovich of the Baroque cello. And at least that's the way the Boston Globe described him. So, and really, there's a touch of genius about everything he does. With this movement from the first suite, I'm going to play the third one. It's the Courante. The Courante, right? All right. Thank you, Keith. Fine, you can set it spinning. Thank you. So, if you didn't know it, Keith, that was the Courant from the first of Bach's six suites, played by none other than the great Dutch cellist, the Rostropovich of the Baroque cello. The Boston Globe called him, right? Anna Bilsma.
Oh, right.
There you go, right? Very Dutch flavor to the program today, isn't there?
Well, considering the history of the show, yes. We want to say hello, actually, to somebody, to two people. Skip Array, who is listening to us via the web stream of WRMI. And somebody that we both know, Jeff White, is also tuning in right now.
Jeff White?
Yes, yes,
Jeff
yes.
Jeff White? My gosh.
He doesn't have anything better to do on a Wednesday, which it is in his part of the world.
I thought he disappeared into the blackest night. My gosh, Jeff. Hi there, Jeff. My gosh, that is a surprise.
Speaking of listeners, the one that I just mentioned a moment ago, Skip Array, contacted us via Facebook, which is very easy to do. If you're already signed up to Facebook, just do a search for PCJ Media or The Happy Station Show. Click on the group, and that's all you need to do. And you can talk to us live as we do the show. And yes, we are live. I mean, we're so live that right now it is here in Taiwan, almost 10:30 in the morning. And in UTC time, it is currently 226 UTC, and we're using 9955 kilohertz. But anyway, getting back to Facebook, a number of people have been, of course, signing up, and there's been a lot of supporters. And we actually have a number of names that I want to mention. And I gave David a list just a moment ago. And now we're going to begin first, actually, with listeners outside South America, Latin America, and the Caribbean, who tune to the show normally from 2 to 2.55 UTC. And David, they seem to be from all over the place.
Well, it certainly looks like it, Keith. Yes, this is where I say greetings to Happy Station listeners outside, as you said, our target area. Listening online at, what is that, Keith? www.wrmi.net, right? And let's begin with this list. I think there are about 160 names on this list. Brendan Monahan of Ohio, USA. Judith Ritter in Montreal, Canada. You want me to go through the complete list, right?
Oh, yeah, we'll go through as many as you can.
Just like that, okay. Kelvin Mack in Malaysia. That's a very familiar name to me, KL Malaysia. I've lived down there for a while. Ming Ong in Kuala Lumpur, to give it its proper name, right, in Malaysia. Jorgen Alexander Gruber, very musical name that, isn't it? Yes, it was Franz Gruber, I think, that composed that famous Christmas carol, the best, most loved.
They're actually from Stuttgart, but he works for Mercedes-Benz, and they now work in London.
Oh, wow, my gosh, this is truly incredible. All these associations over the years, because I visited Mercedes-Benz in Stuttgart many, many years ago as a junior reporter, the Mercedes-Benz Museum, and spoke to the Baron von, oh my gosh, the name just arrived. He told me all about the history of Mercedes-Benz. Fascinating. Mercedes, beautiful lady. Well, they're from Germany, right? Jorgen Alexander Gruber. Franz Gruber, as I say, composed music to, I think it was Silent Night. And they're from Germany and now working in London, where I also lived for a while. So did you, didn't you, right?
Yes, that was just gross, right, more than 20 years ago.
Oh gosh, that takes me back to, oh gosh, London Bridge, yes, I'll go on. Andy Lee in Hong Kong. Simon Kennedy in Sydney, Australia. John Rousseau in Pretoria. Rousseau, right, in Pretoria, South Africa. Tobias Larsson in Stockholm, Sweden. I was just going to say, that sounds like a very Swedish name. And of course it is, right? He lives in Sweden. Maki Inoue, is that right?
Yes.
Inoue in Osaka, Japan. I've only sat at the airport there. Yes, very frustratingly so too. Michelle Ernsting in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands, a producer at Radio Netherlands. What?
Radio Nederland Wildomroep.
Oh, Wildomroep.
I worked with Michelle many, many years ago. Many years ago.
Oh, you mean it's still in business?
Oh, yes. They're one of the lucky ones.
Okay, right. I thought they'd all gone out of business, these shortwave radio stations. I thought you were the only one that was doing it now, Keith. Anyhow, Marie Wenberg in Stockholm, Sweden, where, funny enough, I spent a Christmas not so long ago. I'll tell you about that. Mark Bevelo in Bussum, Netherlands. I've been there too. Winthrop, that sounds like an international, multinational. Winthrop, you, right, in the Philippines.
That's right.
Down the road.
Just down the road. Yeah. And those actually are some of the international listeners that listen to the show, which we target towards South America. But now I want to say hello To some of our listeners in Latin America. Buenas noches con señor Roberto García desde Havana, Cuba. Orastes Nasco Cuba, que vivir también a La Habana. Manolo de la Rosa, que es un locutor de radio con Radio Habana Cuba. Juan Carlos Quintana, que vivir también a Havana, Cuba. Jesús Quintana, que estás a Caracas, Venezuela. Nuestro buen amigo Leonardo Santiago, también a Caracas, Venezuela. Jorge Ruiz Santana con Guadalajara, México. I love saying Guadalajara, Guadalajara, Guadalajara. Sounds like a Mexican food dish or something. Isabel Gilberto con Brasil. María de Sosa, también a Brasil. Tomás Oscar Luna, desde Santiago, Chile. Justin Reigns. Justin es de los Estados Unidos, pero ahora vivir con Jamaica y habla en español también. Y Ernesto Fernández desde Buenos Aires, Argentina. So, buenas tardes and to all of you. And hopefully the interference from a certain country in that area is not interfering with it too much. If it is, let me know and we'll contact Arnie Coro at Radio Havana Cuba. By the way, Arnie, if you are listening, I have a message for you, which, by the way, is from the CIA. The message is 555 Alpha Charlie Delta. Alpha Charlie Delta. So you can look in your own code book in Havana if the jamming that you are producing right now is not interfering with the signal, and find out what that message means. All right, going out to all the people from overseas and from Latin America that have been signing up to Facebook, like I said, which is very easy. A song going out to you. We're going to dedicate Rosemary Clooney and Bean Crosby with Fancy Meeting You Here on the International Happy Station Show.
Didn't you say?
Didn't we say?
Didn't who say?
Didn't you say you were off to China? Fancy meeting you here.
Yes, and didn't you just board an ocean liner? Fancy meeting you here. Didn't we agree that our affair was too frantic? And we both feel good divided by the wide Atlantic.
Weren't you yachting off the Riviera?
With Onassis.
Fancy meeting you here.
Was it jolly Rome and the Sahara?
Dry but laughs.
Fancy meeting you here. If you don't think I have missed your loving, let's get this clear, dear. I just think it's fancy meeting you right here.
Did you say that you enjoyed Alaska?
Loved it, loved it. Did I get a note from Madagascar?
Wrote it.
You're a good girl.
Didn't we divide our little world into sections?
A clean break. But love has sure affected both our senses of direction.
Say, tell me something. How did you ever lose that wealthy, that big fat Persian?
'Twasn't easy.
Fancy meeting you here.
Did you take that African excursion?
I blew it.
Yeah, for the local zoo here.
If you don't think it's a kick to see ya, let's get this clear, dear. From the way my heart is wildly beating,
what we had is more than worth repeating.
My arm, girl.
More than fancy meeting you right here.
Fancy meeting you here, Rosemary Clooney and Bean Crosby. going out to all those who signed up to the Facebook page. We do have a website, by the way. You can check us out online at www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com, where you can find all the past editions of the Happy Station Show, as well as a number of other surprises. Let's now continue traveling around the world. We're going to go now to Carl Blair in the USA.
Greetings, Happy Station listeners, all over the place, from Carl Blair and KDX World Round Radio from the center of North America, and a special hello to our host, Keith Perrone. Every year at this time, I like to address the 6.9 billion members of the human population and encourage the keeping of old mistakes for reasons that make good sense. Let's start by telling you what the Mayan Indians knew thousands of years ago. For them, the new year began on the shortest day of the year, a time known as the winter solstice in the northern hemisphere. As far as we know, the southern hemisphere does not have a new year. This year, our official new year starts on December 21st, after which the days increase in length by 1 minute per day, so that by December 31st, there are 11 minutes of extra daylight as spring is on the way. So why celebrate the new year 11 days late? It's because of a mathematical mistake made 2,000 years ago by Gregorian monks who invented our annual calendar under the influence of Chianti altar wine from deep down in the cellar. Soon thereafter, the Royal Observatory in Greenwich, England, set their atomic clock to correspond with the Gregorian calendar, and no one knows how to reset an atomic clock, so it must remain slow by 2 whole weeks. Now, what about that Mayan calendar which comes to a stop on the winter solstice in 2012? There's even a movie about that. Will that be the end of the world? No, it will not. When our regular modern calendar comes to an end December 31st, 2009, does anyone think that will be the end of the world? Of course not. The Mayans were planning to print new calendars. If they'd really been able to predict the future, they'd have seen their own extinction would come along before their calendar ever ran out. But back to the old monks who invented a couple of other things. They invented broadcasting hundreds of years before Stubblefield or Marconi or Tesla or Heinrich Hertz. Pick your favorite inventor of the wireless. And they did it by the erection of the church steeple, like a radio tower, so messages could be tolled out by bells and heard for many miles. Meanwhile, the monks down below in the church heard confessions of suicidal retailers in the dead shopping season of winter and came up with the idea of inventing Christmas with its many lovable jingles and light displays, and they started the custom of ignoring the actual celebrant whose birthday was being celebrated and instead buying gifts for everyone they'd ever met. If you try to find the date, December 25th, mentioned in the Bible, it simply isn't there. Ask any theologian. Now, what the Blair family did back in ancient times when the ever-shortening days terrified us into believing that the sun would extinguish completely, plunging us into eternal darkness, what we would do back then is grab someone from our group and throw them into a volcano. This succeeded in making daylight slowly return and worked for hundreds of years. But what we do now in 2009 here at the Internet Building in the center of North America, home of KDX World Round Radio, is celebrate the winter solstice by simply having a sandwich, considered to be the most efficient food of all because you can jam the entire food pyramid between two pieces of whole wheat. Our new year at KDX begins December 21st, and a few days later, unsolicited gifts begin to arrive, and a week after that, people imagine that a make-believe new year is starting, and we get invited to join the fun. And so we say, on this happy station occasion, keep the status quo the way it is.
Thank you very much, Carl Blair at KDX, for sending that piece in. Carl runs the radio station KDX, by the way, which happens to also be running the Happy Station Show. You can check them out online at www.kdxradio.com. That's www.kdxradio.com. You know, David, you brought along some music on the show today, and Jeff White said to me that, you know, you're probably the only person out there who is strong enough to say classical music does work on shortwave.
Yes, I've always said that, yes. Keith. I've always believed that, quite emphatically so. Yes.
So what do you have next for us? A little bit of Beethoven, I believe,
all
right?
Right, I know, yes, I do. I know we're running a little short on time. It's Beethoven's Sonata number 3 in A major. Oh, you want to be really, you know, musical about it? Okay, opus, academic about it, opus 69. It's a sonata for cello and piano, forte piano and cello. I'm going to play the Scherzo Allegro Molto, and it's one of the most contagious, I think, versions and performances of this particular work that I've ever heard. Again, with Anna Bilsma, the Dutch cellist, and on forte piano, Malcolm Bilson. I'll tell you a little more about this afterwards, if we have time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. Yeah, that's Scherzo Allegro Molto from Beethoven's Sonata No. 3 in A major. Well, of course, in fact, I think that was in the key of A minor, because by the second movement, that's right, in the second movement he goes to A minor. It's really a really witty, a very witty and, I think, a delicious musical cocktail that and played in the most original way that I've ever heard it played. I just love that. And what else can I say? Quickly, Beethoven dedicated that. I love these German names, you know. Beethoven dedicated that work to Baron Ignaz von Klachenstein. And he was a fellow Rhinelander, you know, Beethoven, born in Bonn and all that, but originally of Flemish extraction, you won't believe it. And this guy was an excellent amateur cellist and one of Beethoven's closest friends and very helpful in handling his business affairs. Now, I think every artist needs someone to handle their business affairs.
Yes, that's true. You are listening to the International Happy Station Show. It's 2:45 UTC, and today we're going to a number of different pieces from around the world, and we also have more coming up at 16 hours UTC today, which that edition of Happy Station will be 120 minutes. My special guest co-host is David Monson, finally bringing a little bit of class to the show.
Oh, no. Don't say that, Keith. Come on. No. I'll walk out the door.
Very sorry. All right. Next, we're going to go off to Japan. The piece that comes to us next is from Yukiko Tsuyomaki, and she's with a Japanese shortwave club in Japan, and she sent us a piece to tell us a bit about what people in Japan do for the new year.
Hello, listeners of Happy Station Show. How is your year this year? As for me, there is something that I have accomplished this year, but on the other hand, there still is something that I have not been able to get it done. I think it's probably the same every year, and that's why I always hope for a better year next year. How about you? What have you accomplished this year? The last day of the year, 31st of December, is the busiest day for Japanese people. I'll tell you how Japanese people welcome the new year in a traditional way. As the year end is coming near, we traditionally do big house cleaning to get rid of all the dust and to purify our house for the coming year. At the same time, we prepare special New Year dishes to eat during the three-day New Year holidays. Those are rice cakes, sweetened black beans, herring eggs, sweetened dried fish, rolled eggs, fish cakes, mashed sweet potatoes, and so on. Among them, my favorites are black beans and sweet potatoes. They are so good that I can't wait to taste them. For dinner of New Year's Eve, it is customary to eat buckwheat noodles called soba. It's a quick meal because we don't have enough time to cook huge meals after all cleaning and cooking for the New Year. Around midnight, we hear 108 temple bell tolls. They tell us that the end of the year is coming and the new year starts. On New Year's Day, many Japanese people visit shrines and temples to pray for good luck and good health throughout the year. Some popular shrines, such as Meiji Shrine in Tokyo, have millions of visitors during the first 3 days of January. These shrines are so crowded that visitors have to queue for a couple of hours to reach the shrine and throw in a coin. At a shrine, you will notice many pieces of white paper tied at tree branches. They are paper fortune or sacred rod to tell someone's fortune. After reading it, people tie them there, not throw them away, even if the rod tells them bad fortune. At home, for New Year's breakfast, we eat rice cakes and New Year's dishes with toast of Japanese rice wine, sake. Children get New Year's gifts of money from parents and relatives. After receiving them, some of them rush to toy stores to buy their favorite toys. The year 2010 is the year of tiger in the Chinese and Japanese zodiac, and I hope it will be the year with lots of luck. Members of Japan Shortwave Club enjoyed many special programs from stations all over the world this year. And as one of those members, I wish we could enjoy some more new special programs in the coming year. So, dear Happy Station Show listeners in the world, we wish you all the best throughout the year of 2010. In closing, I'll play the song sung by one of the greatest musicians on earth, whom unfortunately we lost this year. This is Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. I wish all of you a Happy New Year! In Japanese, 世界各国でハッピーステーションをお聞きの皆様、どうぞ良いお年をお迎えください。
Change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. And as I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street. Not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their need? A sonorous disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know.
Michael Jackson, Man in the Middle, Yukiko's musical selection from the Japan Shortwave Club. And David, have you been to Japan?
I have, Keith, yes, on a number of memorable occasions. In fact, Yuki, did you say
your
friend's name was, right?
Yeah.
Yuki. Well, I met a Yuki, funny enough, in Tokyo. I remember the last time I was there, just before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
But... oh my gosh, yes, 15 years ago. No, I've been there since. Yes.
I really love Japan. I said to myself, there's two places in the world that I want, well, three places in the world that I want to retire. Japan is one of them.
Is it really?
I love it. It's so civilized, very, like, if you go to a real, if people go to a Japanese restaurant in Japan, mm-hmm. the way the presentation is done, very, very cultured, very civilized, you know?
Well, I certainly have that impression myself. I'd love, of all places, to go to Sapporo.
Sapporo, yes.
Winter in Sapporo. I've always dreamt of that.
You just want to go for the Sapporo beer.
For Sapporo, well, that too, yes, that too, probably. Although, you know, I'm something of a vinoholic. Vinoholic.
You're listening to the International Happy Station Show, which comes to you Thursdays from 2 to 2:55 UTC for listeners in Latin South and the America and the Caribbean. Now, normally at this point, we say goodbye and then we play the national anthem for the Republic of China. But today we're continuing for another, 1 hour and 5 minutes for listeners in that area. We're using a frequency of 9,955 kilohertz, broadcasting from Radio Miami International in the USA. And the web stream is being carried by WRMI's own website at www.wrmi.net. And actually, I want to take a moment, David. We talked about this earlier when you arrived, which is surprisingly early, by the way. I hadn't even ready to go and pick you up at the subway. But Glenn Hauser, who you also know, mm-hmm. because there's a note from Glenn Hauser on an album that you did many, many years ago.
That's right. Yes.
And Glenn Hauser does a show called World of Radio, mm-hmm. and he also has a DX Listener's Digest blog on a Google group. Mm-hmm. And I go there quite often, and I will put some blog postings and read what other people write and post some comments. But this is an interesting one because people who are listening right now are familiar with Radio Canada International. But as I was saying earlier, Radio Canada International has changed their mandate, which makes me wonder the same way as you wondered about the management at Belgian Radio International, mm-hmm. which today, by the way, is their last broadcast day on shortwave, makes me wonder what goes through the mind of radio management and government bureaucrats who mm-hmm. provide funding to international broadcasters. Because their mandate now for Radio Canada International is to broadcast a show called The Link and another one called Masela Canada, two new immigrants wanting to come to Canada. But this is an international service. So Canada's international voice effectively no longer exists. But on Glenn Hauser's blog, one day I referred to Radio Canada International. I said, oh yeah, RCI means Radio Canada Immigration, which is more appropriate. And then Glenn Hauser, on one of his messages, put Radio Canada Internal. But then all of a sudden, right. a whole list of other names started coming up. A few of my favorites. Radio Canada Ice Cap. Uh-huh. Radio Canada Iceberg, because they already hit the Titanic. Radio Canada Idiots. Radio Condom International. There's another Radio C here, but I can't say the word on the air, but use your imagination. Radio Canada Impotent. Radio Canada Impossible. Radio Canada Impractical. Radio Canada Incest. Radio Canada Inartistic. Radio Canada Inactivity. Radio Canada Incurable. Radio Canada Intoxicated. Another one of my favorites now. Radio Canada Intestinal.
I like that. Yes, I like that.
Radio Canada Itch. And I wonder where the itch is. Radio Canada Inflammation, which is probably causing the itch. Radio Canada Insane or Insanity. And then Clara, who listens to the show in the USA, sent me three others yesterday. She said RCI really stands for Really Cold Icicles, Raccoon Coat Institute. And I think this is probably the best way to summarize what Radio Canada International has become. The acronym RCI means Receding Canadian Influence.
Such a pity, really. Such a pity. Such a pity.
And this is something that really makes my blood boil when I think about what has happened to the international service. It really makes my blood boil.
Well, I mean, Radio Canada was one of the Radio Canada International was one of the big names in international broadcasting, weren't they?
It was one of the most respected and well-regarded international broadcaster that has now become nothing more than, well, as Glenn put it, Radio Canada Internal, because now they're broadcasting on domestic. This is the domestic service of the CBC.
Well, Radio Canada Inarticulate, probably.
Yes, that's another, another good one. I think the list will be growing.
Pity about that.
You're listening to the International Happy Station Show, broadcasting to Latin, South America, and the Caribbean on 9,955 kilohertz. And at this moment, I should do a legal ID for WRMI. This is WRMI Radio Miami International, broadcasting at 9,955 kilohertz. To check us out, well, that's WRMI online. Go to www.wrmi.net to listen to this program for live streaming, as well as other programs on Radio Miami International. All right. We got that out of the way, David. We're going to have a little music break when we come back in this hour. Beta Wayne is going to be joining us for a bit of a comedy look. And then somebody that we both know, Ian McFarland, is going to be here with Colin New. You met Ian, right, many years ago.
Certainly I know Ian. My gosh, good friend. Hi, Ian.
So let's take a little listen to a bit of a march, but with a bit of an arrangement change. El Banico, performed by Rowan Shaw and his orchestra.